Who knows what Jay-Z, J.K. Rowling, Bill Gates and Oprah Winfrey all have in common? Okay, I will tell you then. They have all overcome failure in one shape or form to go on to gain success in their respective careers. Welcome to My Perfect Failure. Join us as we delve into the world of our perfect failures. We will interview, explore, and discuss how our perfect failures can lead us to success. Join us and tune in.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of My Perfect Failure. Today, we have a returning guest, so a dear friend and somebody that is amazing. And we just had an amazing conversation already, which I should have hit the record button because it isn't here, but we're going to do our best to cover everything that we covered before I hit the record button. Okay, so my guest today is a force to be reckoned with, a true visionary and innovator who has dedicated her career to helping people achieve their goals and overall quality of life. As a best-selling author of Infinite Love, My Journey to Better Health, Relationships and Finances, Applying Scientific Spiritual Approach, she has shared her wisdom and insights with people all over the world, inspiring them to reach their dreams and unlock their full potential. She is the founder and CEO of Infinite Love Coaching Academy and Infinite Love Holistic Resort. So, a very warm welcome to My Perfect Failure, Shima Chad Rue. How are you?
Thank you so much, dear Paul. I'm very well, and I'm very happy to be here today for another podcast and conversation with you that is always very exciting. And also, I would love to welcome our dear guests who are listening to us today. And my wish for our conversation today is that you can get something insightful from this conversation, and your vibration can shift after listening to this. So if we can hopefully help you to be happier, to be more vibrant, and to create more inner peace.
Amazing. That's wonderful. So I, as you were talking, I was thinking to our initial conversation, which I will put a link to that in the show notes for people that haven't yet listened to that episode. But immediately after that conversation, I remember I was so energized after the conversation because it was very inspirational. You covered so many, you gave me and everybody that's listened or watched that today so many insights and different techniques and tips that we can use to just live a more fulfilled life. So, and I was just so energized after. And I remember we've got a mutual friend that connected us, Nina, and I told Nina that as well. So, yes, yeah. So I'm excited to have another conversation with you.
Thank you. Very happy to hear that.
Wonderful. So, for everybody that's wondering, what are we going to cover today? So, today we're going to cover the vibrations of peace, how your heartbeat can change the world. But what I thought might be, just as a recap for people that might not be familiar with your content currently, might be just maybe, if you're happy to, just a little recap of how you got to this place and we're talking today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So basically today we are going to talk about the effect and influence of the vibration of our heart and our emotion on the well-being of everyone else, not only on our own well-being, but also on the global well-being. Mm-hmm. And before getting to that, I would like to share a little bit why I have been called to become an advocate for global peace and how I woke up to this mission. I was born during the war between Iran and Iraq in Tehran after the Islamic Revolution in Iran. So the very first years of my childhood was affected by bombs, conflict, terror, horror, and all this misery that the war bring to a society. The very first 6 years of my upbringing was under the war. And my mom often referred to one of the memories of the war that she reminded me of that. She was telling that you were 3 years old and your sister was 1 year and a half. Your father was on a business trip. And on that day, in the midnight, when we were sleeping, the alarm went on, the alarm of the war. And we had a couple of minutes to get ourselves to a basement, to a safe place in order to save ourselves. So I grabbed your hand, I got your sister on my arm, and I got your brothers, which are also 5 and 6 years old, to come after us. And we all run 80 stairs down to get to the basement in the middle of the night and in the crowd of all other people who are running down to save their lives while the bombs are exploding one after each other. So in the midst of this crowd, I lost your hand. When I arrived down in the basement, I realized you're not there. For a moment, I was shocked. I was furious that I have lost my daughter. My daughter, who I wish to have after two boys. And in that moment, I ran up the stairs and I was praying to the angels to save you and hope you're alive. When I arrived in the middle of the yard, I found you standing and holding your hand up to the sky, showing your small little index finger to the sky, talking to the Iraqi jets that are throwing bombs and calling Saddam. Saddam was the name of the president of Iraq. Saddam, if you are a man, you should come here and talk to me instead of standing up there and killing my family and friends. She says, I was amazed by this brave heart that was located in the little tiny chest of my little girl, 3 years old, is standing under the bomb and want to communicate with the people in the war. So she repeat this story very often in our family, and they would make jokes of it, and they would laugh at me because they would say she always wants to negotiate and she always wants to talk and get into the middle of the conversation to bring peace, you know, intermediate the conversation. And I remember this story and that night very well. And I remember a lot of other nights. And still today, I sleep very, very, very light. And the lightest noise in the night can really crush my heart. I can wake up still today after doing lots of trauma therapy, being a trauma therapist myself. I can still wake up by every sound, feeling that this is a bomb exploding, or even if I'm sitting in the balcony and there is a jet flying over, I feel again there is a war, you know. Yeah. So the impact is very long term. But that fire ignited the fire inside my heart to look for the solution for peace, because I was asking right at those age, why am I born in a world full of conflict? Why people and leaders, they can't talk with each other and solve their problems? Why they have to get the life of us innocent people just because of their own conflicts? So I was thinking about finding a solution to end the war, and coming from Middle East, we have war every single day. It's a never-ending story, war in Middle East. Why? Because of the rich agriculture and rich the mining and the oil and the crude oil and all what we have there, the abundance that we have in Middle East. The big powers, they would never leave Middle East alone. So they constantly create conflict to get everything for free for themselves. And you can imagine I'm a schoolgirl and I have daydreams, and I'm often lost in my daydreams. seeing myself negotiating and talking with world leaders and shaking hands to stop the war.
Sorry, did you visualize that?
I was going there as if like I'm going to a parallel universe. You know, I would go there without intention. I was just lost. I'm sitting at the school and I'm just lost into this idea of bringing peace. And I thought back then, this is the thought of everybody else. I didn't know this is very much unique to me. I thought everybody is thinking to now. Because at least everybody my age or in the same condition, they are grown up in the world. So they should have the same thought and the same mission here. So I was constantly thinking about the ways to create peace in the world until I had a spontaneous trip to Konya, is in Turkey, where Rumi, the prophet of unconditional love, the Persian poet of 13th century, is buried. And this spontaneous, miraculous trip that I have shared in my book, the details of it, awakened my eyes to a better way to create peace in the world. Rumi says, yesterday I was clever and I wanted to change the world. Today I am wise and I'm changing myself. It was such a great understanding and great relief to understand that in order to bring peace in the world around me, I don't need to change the entire world. I just need to change myself. So from here, my mission was clear. I knew that I need to change myself, but my analytical and scientific part of my brain wanted more evidence for this. So this was the spiritual part, and it made a lot of sense, and I could resonate with it because I had a lot of angelic experience, spontaneous healing experiences in my life that I also shared in the book. But this particular sentence shifted something in my mindset, and I could deeply resonate with it. Now, I needed also scientific evidences for what he said. So I studied really deep into quantum physics, and a couple of years after, I became familiar with the teachings of Heart Mass Institute. Is a scientific...
Can I ask you one question?
Yeah.
Just around, because I wrote a note down, and... And your explanation will give me a lot more clarity around it. Quantum physics. What is quantum physics?
Okay, quantum physics is the discovery of interconnectivity of everything that exists. Okay. Is the discovery that everything that exists is connected through an invisible net. That we call it like matrix.
Okay.
Everything that is connecting us together. And the laws of quantum physics, because everything is interconnected, is very different than the mechanical physics. Because in mechanical physics, everything is studied in vacuum and in separation from each other. And in quantum physics, as everything is interconnected, then there is the time bends. The time doesn't exist as in the concept of mechanical physics. Past, present, and future is not linear anymore.
Okay, which is very important.
Very important. And there is energy is the main foundation of everything is energy, and energy is inside everything that connects everything together and has the frequency, and by shifting the frequency of something, we can change the physical structure of something.
Okay. Again, which is very important. The reason I say that is because I think that we live in a world, the majority, and I think I put myself firmly in this camp, not so much now because I've connected with you, but certainly I'm not finished article by any means, but invariably we think that things happen that have happened in the past, things that have, that we've got experience of, our memories have experience of, really dictate our future because it happened in our past. And our
Absolutely.
Energy about those situations,
right? Because we see the time linear, and it is correct, it creates cause and effect, whatever events happen in the past. But what we are not aware of it, and what quantum physics explains, is about the parallel universes and interconnectivity of different versions of us that are in different universes, and we can actually achieve who we want to be by changing our own frequency. So it's fascinating, the discoveries of quantum physics, and it's very empowering in our life when we understand. Now, what is here the point of our focus on the conversation of today is the interconnectedness between all of us, according to quantum physics and according to the discoveries of HeartMath Institute. Our heart is creating an electromagnetic field around our body. Basically, every living being has electromagnetic field. Every cell in our body has electromagnetic field, and every organ in our body has electromagnetic field. Now, the heart's electromagnetic field is the biggest electromagnetic field around our body that we can measure with today's scientific devices, up to 2 meters around our body. That means when I'm sitting here, 2 meters on my left, 2 meters on my right, 2 meters in front, 2 meters behind, 2 meters above, 2 meters below, is the electromagnetic field of my heart. So what does it mean? What is the electromagnetic field of my heart doing? The electromagnetic field of the heart is mirroring my emotions to the electromagnetic field of the world around me, and also receives information from the electromagnetic field, from the global field, and sending to my brain. Therefore, when I am in danger, my heart can predict future. Actually, we have scientific studies showing how your heart is your intuitive guidance. Your gut is sending the signals to your brain that you're in danger. And then the brain will act accordingly and send the command to release stress hormone and to put you in fight or flight. But it all comes from the communication between your heart and your brain. We have been taught that the brain is the taskmaster of our body. But this is completely wrong perception. The taskmaster of our body is the heart. After all, what is the first organ that develops in fetus development? Is the heart or is the brain?
Is the heart?
Is the heart. And only 8-9 weeks after the heart is developed, the brain is developing. So what happened when somebody is in a coma and has and her brain is not working anymore? But the person is still alive. Why? Because the heart keeps that person alive. The heart is the one sending the signals to the brain to keep you alive, not the other way around. Now, this is a misperception and miseducation that the brain is the taskmaster. Through the discoveries of the HeartMath, the past 40 years, it's been explained with scientific devices that we have 40,000 neurons in our heart that they act, think, and decide independently than the brain. Fascinating, no?
That's incredible. So
the neurons are receiving the information from the electromagnetic field of the heart that is communicating with the electromagnetic field of everyone else, and electromagnetic field of our planet is receiving the data and sending this data through the neurites, which are this transmitter, to the brain. And then the brain will translate these signals to different commands.
Okay.
Therefore, when you enter a room, imagine you have a discussion, or if your spouse or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, your family member, they have some problem, or they are not in a good mood, or they are in low vibration or whatever, you enter the room, you do not need to exchange a word. The moment you come to 2 meters distance,
hey, it makes sense.
You know that. You can see that.
Yeah.
You can feel it immediately. You go in a place where everybody's happy, even if you go initially with from a state of depression or sadness, you go to a place where everybody is dancing. All of a sudden, your energy shifts up, or you go to a place where everybody is sad or is down, even if you go from a different state, all of a sudden you know that you can feel a shift because your heart is interacting and sending and mirroring this emotion to the world around us.
Yeah.
So now the question is, if this emotion stops 2 meters around you, and the answer is no. The answer is our devices today can measure only around more or less 2 meters around you. But when you throw a stone inside the water in the ocean, the wave and the ripples that are created by that stone goes to the other side of the ocean, even if you don't see it, is exactly the same. Whatever you feel in your heart is affecting people in other sides of the planet, even if you don't see that. Therefore, creating inner peace means adding up to the global peace.
Okay, fascinating. So I'm just thinking around the application of this, because it's clearly it's fascinating stuff. And I love that analogy about when you walk into a room and we feel energy, whether it's positive or it's negative, and you don't actually have to sometimes hear laughter. Obviously, laughter is a good indicator, but everybody, I'm sure, that's listening to this or watching can have any number of different experiences where you've walked into a room and you notice the energy. And you haven't said a word, you haven't listened to anything, you just feel the energy. And then that dictates how we engage with the people that potentially are in that room. And whether it's people we work with, family or friends, or just maybe a random room that we've got into.
Absolutely.
So I was just thinking around the people that are thinking this is fantastic stuff, but I'm keen to know how I can start implementing this into my life. And what would we need to do to start practicing this maybe on a daily basis?
Okay. First of all, we need to understand that our emotions are not only our emotions. It's like you're sitting in a big ship and you're all traveling together and you say, okay, I just want to make a hole under me. And it's just my part, is my place, and it's not going to affect anybody else. But from that hole, the water get in and everybody will sink, right? It's exactly the same. You are all traveler together. We are all traveler together in this planet, in the Mother Earth, that we are sharing this same journey together. Every emotion that we are having inside us is affecting the global field around us. Now, in the current situation that the vibration of our planet is very low because of so much anxiety that is out there, and because of so much stress that the human today is experiencing, and because of us living constantly on fight or flight and survival mode. Mm-hmm. If you look at over 99.9% of the people on planet Earth are living in survival mode. They have to fight in order to just get the bread and feed themselves or feed their children. In this society that the vibration is unsurvival and stress that is affecting our own health, at the same time is adding up to the negativity in the environment around. We have more conflict, we have more war, we have more crisis, political, economical health crisis. First, we need to become aware that we are adding up with our emotion to global field. We need to learn how to self-regulate, how to regulate our own emotions. And I'm going to show you a very simple way that you can immediately shift your vibration and regulate your inner emotions by just 2 steps in 1 minute. And by doing that, you are creating a coherent communication between your heart and your brain. The moment this communication is coherent, the electromagnetic field around you is coherent. And because you have a coherent electromagnetic field, you're adding up to the well-being of others, not only to your own well-being, okay? And that is something that is called by Hartmus Institute heart coherence technique. Okay. I think we have shared this in our previous episode, how to create a heart coherence. And it's a very simple technique. We have a lot of different techniques that you can do to create coherence or to simply reduce your stress and to simply shift your vibration. You can do gratitude, repeating positive affirmation, breathing exercises. Just go for a walk in the nature, grounding yourself, walking barefoot, hugging a tree. A lot of different techniques are out there for you to immediately shift your vibration. But if you are one like me, with the mission to create a peace in the world around you, you want your future generation, your children, your family to live in a peaceful world, especially in today's society that is undergoing endless conflict, I invite you to be more aware of your own inner emotion. And also be more aware of what you are feeding the global field with, what type of the quality your emotion has. Mm-hmm. If you watch the news and you get frustrated and you get anxious about what comes next, because the news are planned and programmed this way to keep you in the anxiety, you don't find anything positive in it. Over 90% is disaster or negativity. You don't want to have that inside you. I personally haven't watched news for 20 years.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the news.
And that's one of the steps that contribute to my inner peace. Today, with this fast-paced world, that the stress is dominant, we need to do as much as possible to create inner peace. So finding time to create inner peace, even if like 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening, 5 minutes in the middle of the day, repeating positive affirmation, staying away from negativity, turning off the TV and the news and everything, and don't surround yourself by people who bring your vibration down. Try to become a member of the society that adds up to the well-being of everybody else. So if you're surrounded by people who are constantly nagging and talking about everything that is bringing your vibration down and affecting you, try to get distance from them.
There's a question around the negative vibrations that I think are constantly there. I think to your point, reading, watching the news, listening to the news, reading newspapers, 99.9% of it is all negative. And I guess that for anybody, I guess I'm making an assumption here, but I think I'm pretty on the money. But most people, I would assume, want positive vibrations in our lives, and sometimes that might be a source of frustration that we don't have that, we don't feel that we're getting that. But are we perpetuating the maybe low vibrations if we wake up in the morning, we put on the news, we watch the news, we read the newspapers? Mm-hmm. Are we essentially perpetuating the state that we're trying to extract ourselves from?
Absolutely. If you wake up and you take the phone and you watch social media and you start to see all this negativity that is out there, it's adding up to your inner peace, and that is vibrating in the environment around you. It's affecting your well-being, and it's affecting the well-being of everybody else around you. First of all, people in your close circle, you can see how it's affecting them, your own vibration. And then, of course, we are going to share with you the scientific studies that they have been done on how the effect of meditation, like creating inner peace through meditation, can create really global peace and reduce crime rate and fatality rate in the war.
That's phenomenal. So before we started recording, you told me about how you collated this mammoth task of all these studies where you had to go from this country. How many countries did you have to go to collate all this information together?
Okay, so this information has been published by several institutes, scientific institute, and by several universities. In total, there are 600 published scientific studies in 30 countries and in 200 universities. that are talking about the effect of meditation on reducing crime rate and fatality rate in the world. And it was difficult for me when I was writing this book and bringing this information to access all these scientific links, because for me, coming from the scientific background, I want to have the links of everything to put them together, all the references. And I was amazed by seeing that depends on which country in the world you're connecting to internet, you have access to some information and you don't have access to other informations. So that was very interesting. You now I have all the links together and you can hopefully open them all. And if you in your country, you can access some of them, just use VPN to be able to open. And I have published that list of those scientific studies in my book. But the major parts we are talking about, the scientific study that proves meditation can decrease the crime rate, was done by Harvard University. This is available everywhere. So yeah, you can have access to this one. And this is done during the peak of the war of 1982 to 85 between Israel and Lebanon. And they send two Harvard University students called Dr. Charles Alexander and Dr. John Davis. They organize groups of experienced meditators in Jerusalem and Yugoslavia and United States. So there are three groups.
Yeah.
And they meditate and focus their attention on the Israel and Lebanon at the various intervals over 27 months. Okay? So we are at almost 3 years. They are studying in three different locations. And the study shows that every time a group meditated, the level of violence in Lebanon decreased by 40% to 80%, with largest reduction happening when the number of meditators was largest. So when we have more people meditating together simultaneously, they have a bigger effect. And during this period, the average number of people killed during the war per day dropped from 12 to 3. How much you can do to save life by meditation?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. From 12 to 3, a decrease more than 70%. And war-related injuries fell by 68%, and the intensity level of the conflict decreased by 48%. That's unbelievable. These are all shared in my book in the chapter 9 that is talking about global peace. And at the end of the book, you can find all the scientific resources, which Deepak Chopra says, if you and I are having a single thought of violence or hatred against anyone in the world at this moment, we are contributing to the wounding of the world.
Yeah, that's astonishing statistics, but really hopeful and encouraging information that, you know, that if we, I guess, meditate, if we use that as a standard practice, particularly in the most gravest of situations when there is a war conflict going on, we really can transform the outcome.
And, exactly.
And we don't really think about. So, Carol.
Yes, please.
No, I was just going to finish that. We don't really think about the power that we have access to, and so this has really enlightened me about the power we have access to just by, I guess, meditating and thinking differently.
Absolutely. So after doing this 600 scientific studies, they come up with a scientific formula. We have an equation for global peace. That's fascinating. And this is what I want to share with you today. So this scientific formula has been published in 2006, okay? And it's talking about if the square root of 1% of the US population, they meditate together for peace, they create peace. And they can add to dropping down the fatality rate and the crime rate and everything else. So Now, think about this in the world we are living. Square root of 1% of the population of the Mother Earth, of planet Earth, is 8 billion people living on planet Earth. Square root of that is something around 90,000, 95,000 people. That's not a big number. We get together a collection of 100,000 people to meditate simultaneously for peace, and holding this pulse of peace inside their heart, they can affect the crime rate. They can affect the global well-being of everybody. But this should be continuously done, and as often as possible. Because of course, if we do it that day, we are affecting, we are measuring the effect, and we can affect the crime rate in that day. But we need to do it constantly.
Yeah. So it just makes me think about how we get to a point where we are, these practices of meditation, being more mindful, but they become staples of our DNA at a younger age. Is there any way that you think that we can get to a point where we are more cognizant that we should be doing these at an earlier age? So we're just practicing these. We've got our vibrations are always in the positive as opposed to low.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. The first step is to create awareness, to become aware of how much my inner state is creating imbalances, first of all, in my own personal life, affecting my health, affecting my relationships, and also it's affecting my global well-being. First, we have to become aware. Now that we are aware, from the state of awareness, we make a commitment to create, to change our vibration. So every moment that you have a thought that is stressful, that's a thought of, I don't know, anger, resentment, bad intention, anything with low vibration, which the lowest vibrations are fear, guilt, shame. If you have any of these kind of emotions, remember, these emotions are followed by thought. Think about what thought was behind this shame that I'm feeling now. What thought was behind the fear I'm feeling now. And remind yourself that you are the observer of the thought. You are not your thought.
Yeah.
And at any moment, you can rewrite that thought. So you get your power, claim your power back. Don't be the result of your thought. Change that thought.
Yeah. Do we have to get to a point with thoughts? Because I love that analogy. It's something that I didn't know. So what I like about this, you can see the scientific link where you talk about the analogy, but then you give us the equation to kind of to solve the difficulty that we might experience, or the negative thought that we need to remove because it's just a thought. So when we have that thought and we can replace it, do we have to practice that so we get into a technique? So A, we've got the habit, and then maybe belief becomes more powerful, because if we're continually doing something, then I don't know this, but I'm just surmising, will belief become more powerful because we're just practicing this on a daily or weekly or monthly basis?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There are a lot of different techniques that we're using in psychology, psychotherapy, coaching, that we can reprogram a thought. But there is something fascinating in emotion code, body code teaching from Dr. Bradley Nelson. Is one of the teachings that I'm using at my therapy sessions. And it's very fast and very effective, that you can pass your hand, because your hand is electromagnetic. That's the same, because we are electromagnetic beings. You can pass your hand over your main meridian, which starts from frontal part of your head to the back of your neck, 3 times, with the intention to release that emotion, release that belief, release that thought. This is an advanced therapy system that we are working in order to attend the root cause of the disease. And and the results are fascinating. But because it's very simple, I can bring it to the awareness that everyone can do that. Passing your hand through the meridian, first of all, what is meridian? In Chinese medicine, Japanese medicine, meridians are like electricity cables passing through our body and channeling the energy through our body. So we have a lot of cables because we are hydroelectric beings. We have a lot of cables that are channeling this key energy or the life force through our body. And you can just Google and see the meridians, which are these electricity cables in our body. And the main governing meridian is passing from the top of your scalp here to the back of your neck. Now, you can pass your hand is like you're passing a magnet, because your hand is a magnet, over the main meridian to create a reprogramming, release a trapped emotion, realign and create a correction in some misalignment in your body. And is as if you're passing I'm thinking Spanish and translating English. So as you are passing a magnet over your credit card, and you're deleting data from your credit card, when you pass your hand over the governing meridian with the intention to delete certain beliefs, certain emotions, you will delete it.
So can I ask
and it is very
that?
Fast. It's three times, and it can heal incurable disease, very, very terminal disease in a very fast way, because it goes to the root cause. Now, I don't want to open that topic. It's a topic for another podcast.
Yeah.
I invite everybody who would like to know more about emotion code, body code, they can check on my website, shimashadow.com and infinitelove.es. They can check these therapies. And also they can check the book of Emotion Code and Body Code from Dr. Bradley Nelson, who is the founder of this revolutionary methodology. We have some panel talks together also on YouTube, so you can refer to those panel talks. But simply remember that your hand is, it works like a magnet. And if you pass the magnet over the main governing meridian of your body, you can reprogram your subconscious mind. Now, if you come down to a belief that is causing negativity in your life, if there is a trauma, if it's a trapped emotion, whatever it is, if you know what it is, you can just pass your hand over this three times, take three deep breaths, set the intention to release that, and it will be released. It's very fast. And just by doing that, you feel amazing shift in your vibration and in your well-being.
Sounds phenomenal. Just one question around that. So I'm going to refer everybody to your conversations, to your website initially, and to conversations online that you've had around this subject with Dr. Bradley Nelson. But when people do that, are we doing the action but being intentional in terms of what the challenge is and maybe what we want the outcome to be?
If you have a belief and you come across a belief that is limiting and is stopping you and bringing your vibe down, for instance, I'm not good enough. That's a belief that many of us have because we have been grown up under conditions that this has been inserted to our subconscious mind. So if you come to a belief and you see whatever you want to do, you have this deep limiting belief that I'm not good enough, I'm not beautiful enough, I'm too fat, I'm too slim, I'm too poor, I'm too rich, I'm too this, I'm too that. You can release that belief by passing your hand over the governing meridian. Now, when you come to emotions, I experience a terrible loss, I feel grief. Pass three times your hand to release the grief. I feel resentment. My boyfriend broke my heart or my wife cheated on me. Pass your hand three times with the intention to release the emotion, which is, for instance, betrayal. Whatever emotion is, first recognize it, what it is. Then set the intention and release it, whether it's a thought or emotion or is a belief, which is belief is nothing more than a repeated thought, right? It has been repeated so many times that become a belief.
Yeah. I love these techniques that, it's interesting, isn't it, that these techniques exist, But for the layman like me and most others out there, we are just not familiar with a lot of the techniques that we have at our disposal.
Absolutely, it's very easy and fast.
Yeah, and we all want to. I can't think of anybody that doesn't want to live a life with greater and more higher vibration. But I'm conscious of your time, so I'm just thinking about people that, you know, are very enthused by this and want to practice this. But I'm thinking of a group of people that potentially they might be in they might be thinking, this is wonderful, I need to start applying this to my life. But they might be thinking, well, at work, the people I work with, or maybe the people that are in my club or something like that, maybe they impact their vibrations negatively, so I guess it lowers their vibration. In those instances, do they need to think about things that they can do daily to mitigate that? Is there anything that you have any advice for those guys?
Yes, the heart coherence technique that we have shared in the previous chapter, I'm going to recap now again. It's a very powerful technique for instantly creating inner peace. And this is a two-step technique that, first of all, you bring your attention to your heart by closing your eyes and placing your hand over your heart in the center of your chest, your heart chakra. You can just close your hand and start to feel your heart with the tip of your fingers. So now your awareness is shifted from the outer world to your heart, because you are touching your heart. And start to slowing down your breathing rhythm. Inhale for a count of four. And exhale for a count of four. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale for a count of four. Exhale for a count of four. As you are becoming calmer in feeling that your breathing rhythm is slower at this moment, while having your attention on your heart, try to inhale inside your heart. So your next inhalation is inside your heart. And exhale out of your heart. See how your breath is entering your heart and is coming out of your heart. At this very moment, create a feeling of gratitude. You can simply give thanks to your heart. It is there for you 24/7 without any rest and without any expectations, giving you life and being there. And allow this vibration of gratitude to expand all over your heart. And reaching out to every cell in your body. Now send this beautiful vibration of gratitude to the space around you. And as you breathe deeply and slowly, send this beautiful loving energy to every single person in this world. See how your loving energy is reaching their hearts. And bringing a smile on their faces. And allow this energy to expand to every living being, every bird, every tree, every plant, every butterfly, mountains, oceans, rivers. The entire Mother Earth, planet Earth, is vibrating in your gratitude. And this beautiful vibration of your gratitude is going out of our planet and reaching out to every other star and planets in the universe. You can see the entire world, entire universe is vibrating in this beautiful, peaceful energy. Now open your heart and see how every being in other planets and in our planet open their heart and sending you their loving energy back to your heart. Open your heart. And fill up your body with their loving appreciation and gratitude. Very well done. Now you can open your eyes.
You can totally appreciate how that would impact wars and conflicts.
Absolutely. And that's very fast, very quick. You can do in a couple of minutes, creating the gratitude inside you and sending the vibration of gratitude, which is a very high vibration, to everybody around you and to every. So you can use more your visualization and allow this to travel. This is what we use in our global peace meditation events. Mm-hmm. This is the technique we are using to send our vibration to every living being and to create peace on the planet Earth.
Yeah.
But you can do this at your own home or even in the office or wherever to create the inner peace and to change your vibration in a very short meditation, which is even 5-minute meditation. And if you are very much interested to become an advocate for global peace and to join us to create a peaceful world, I would invite you to connect with us every Sunday at night, 9 p.m. CET time, Central European time, and meditate 5 minutes is enough. 5 minutes every Sunday. Hold the peace pulse in your heart. Right at 9 to 9:05. Every Sunday, we meditate and we get together. If you would like to listen to a guided meditation, I have a lot of guided meditations for global peace on my YouTube channel. You can access those. Or you can listen to other guided meditations for global peace. You can simply repeat what we did today. And if whether you have 5 minutes or you have half an hour, this is something that can add up to creating a peaceful world.
Amazing. So just in relation to links for, so for people that want to participate on the Sunday meditation, is there a link that I can get access to where I can put it on the show notes and also for details about how people can find out more about you, your academy, your retreats?
Yes, absolutely. We have a Telegram channel for Global Peace Meditation that they can join that. And also, because this is only 5 minutes, they don't need to go live every Sunday on the link. On the Telegram channel, they can download our meditations, but all they need to do is to create that 5 minutes, set the intention to create the inner peace and share that loving energy with others. Just from 9 to 9:05, for 5 minutes, tune into this global field of other people meditating around the world. And this is what we call it, the pulse.
Yeah.
HeartMath Institute has also a lot of different timing, but they are mainly for US and Canada. So here for Europe, I decided to select the Sunday evening when everybody is free, more or less, and they can have this 5 minutes of inner peace.
I think that's the perfect time, because I think Sunday's historically a time when our vibrations can be low because we're thinking about the week ahead. And I think that something to elevate us and re-calibrate.
Absolutely. It adds up Sunday's to everything. Perfect. Absolutely.
Sunday's perfect. Shima, I've taken up more of your time than was allocated. So thank you so much. I could literally
my absolute
to you
pleasure
for forever. And I'll get a link for your book. We'll put that in the show notes as well. And is there anything else that you would like to say before we depart?
What I want to say is that we are going through massive transformation and shift right now. Human is experiencing a very exciting time. And in this time of transformation, we need to build resilience. We need to know who we truly are. And one of the ways to create and build resilience is through practicing heart coherence, creating coherent communication between our heart and our brain so we don't simply collapse, because we are going to see the rise of conflict in our world. Mm-hmm. And in this moment, it's very important for us to know how to be resilient and how to confront what is coming next. It is a time of deep transformation. It's not a bad news. It is a good news, because it comes with entering the 1,000 years of peace, what has been mentioned in Bible. But before entering that 1,000 year of peace, which some people call it the fifth dimension, there are some years of turbulences that we just need to learn how to navigate through this time.
Yeah.
So you need to learn a lot of tools of self-regulation and emotional management.
It's very heartening to know that there are these techniques and tools that we can all use to really not just impact us, but impact, to your point, impact others around us and the world. We can all contribute in a positive way, and we can remedy things that on the face of it to us might seem insurmountable, but they're not.
Absolutely. So you practicing a simple technique of heart coherence, I have shared in my book the scientific studies that shows just practicing 5 minute heart coherence per day, how much can contribute to your global and general well-being, at health well-being, your sleeping rhythm, your cortisol level, your sugar level, your blood pressure, and everything else, and your focus, your productivity. It's fascinating. And how much it can add up to your relationships, if you are coherent within, how much this can add up to your relationship with others, and how can this bring more coherence in your relationship in the society with other people, and how this is adding to your global well-being. So I have published 3 chapters in my book about these studies about heart coherence and the massive power of your heart and this loving energy that has on other people and your own life. I would invite you to all study that and bring that information to your life. Now, there is one important point that I would like to share with you. All what we spoke today about and the tools that we have learned, these are all interesting. If I give you the tools and you put it in your storage and you never use it, it's not going to add up anything to your life. So I would like to invite you to get the best out of it and use it, practice, dedicate some time every single day to practice heart coherence, to practice self-regulation, to meditate, and dedicate time to your well-being.
Mm. Yeah. And to that point, which I think is really, really important, is it's something that we can do on a daily basis. So there should be space for this, I think, in our daily routine, because the meditation we did a second ago, about what was that, 5 minutes or less? So, and the rewards, not just for us, but for everybody around us, the world, is, mm-hmm. is you know, you can't, I wouldn't say massive, and I think massive is probably the right word.
Mm-hmm. Every time that you wake up, remember that you have the choice to create your reality, and the reality is affected by your internal being, because the reality out there is a perspective. It's a perspective because the observer, according to the quantum physics that I also shared this in my book, is changing the reality, the effect of the observer. So your perspective, as Wayne Dyer says, change the way you look at things and things will change.
Yeah.
So if you wake up in the morning and downloading the stories of who you are, and based on those downloads, creating an identity, and based on that identity, go and face the world with a lot of pain and with all what happened to you, your life is going to be difficult. If you want to create a peaceful, joyful life, get control over those stories that you're downloading every single day. Mm-hmm. And over the false identities that we are giving to ourselves, know that you are in charge and you can rewrite your story. And instead of saying, this is me, this is my pain, this is my story, this is what happened to me, ask yourself, who I want to be? Today, who I want to be? And what it would feel like if you would have been that version of you? Tune in to that vibration, to the feeling of that identity, and download and channel like an actor. The actor will channel that character and they become that character. So imagine you are bringing that in. So instead of living a victim in the victimhood, live in a creator mode, in a way that you are a god, you're a goddess, you're creating and co-creating your own destiny. Mm-hmm. Every single morning, take control, create something powerful and beautiful.
Yeah, I was thinking around when you were talking around the opportunity you're giving us for power, because very often in the mornings, particularly when we're not that positive, we totally remove our power, so we almost become powerless. So your technique is actually remedying that, because you've given us the power to channel what we want to, how we want to show up today, how we can show up today, and totally removing the powerless thoughts that we very often have in the mornings.
Absolutely. It's very important. The moments, the first moments that you're, the first 10, 15 minutes you wake up, it's the most important part to create, to reprogram your subconscious and create your ideal day, create your ideal reality. And if you do this enough and you repeat this every single day, after 21 days, you are living that character.
Mm. So just, again, I'm conscious of your time because we have overrun on based on your schedule, but just a quick question if I may. So when we do that, say if people are waking up in the morning, they want to reprogram to be more powerful and remove the limiting beliefs and thoughts we have on our head. Is that a meditation? Can it be a meditation, or can it be journaling it? Or are there different ways that we can harness the power that we want to have for that day or that week?
I have shared practical steps in order to tap into your ideal version in chapter 3 of my book.
Okay.
And I would definitely recommend everybody to read those steps. You can do that through visualization as well. You can do that through the meditation, gratitude, journaling, positive affirmation. All of that can add up to creating that version of you that you want to be. But all come down to asking yourself first, who I want to be.
Mm.
This is a powerful question to ask yourself instead of waking up to say, oh, I'm a person who lost a mother, who lost a father, who is this, who is that, who doesn't have a job, who doesn't have a girlfriend or boyfriend, who, instead of that, let go of all those identities that is in a victimhood and create an empowered identity. If you could have a magic wand in your hand and you could create magic by just waving that magic wand, who would create? Who would you create? Who would you be?
That's a wonderful thought for everybody. Maybe people, if you've got ideas about who you would want to be, what that looks like, maybe let Shima know or let me know. That'd be amazing. But obviously get the book. So I'll put a link in the show notes for people. Shima, I'm really conscious of your time. We have gone over. I love talking to you. I said that before we probably started recording, and indeed when we started recording. Thank you so much. So I think we know where people can find you, but if you want to say one last time the best place for people to find you, then I will ensure that everything goes in the show notes.
Thank you so much. You can find me on shimashadru.com or infinitelove.es. Also on social media, you can search just by Shima Shadru. On YouTube channel, the same, at Shima Shadru and at Infinite Love Coaching. So you can find me on all social medias and on the website. And I'm very happy to be here. And thank you so much for listening to us, for being with us, for sharing your beautiful energy with us. And thank you, dear Paul, for bringing this opportunity to all of us to share these moments together. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I will leave a link to your YouTube channel, which is wonderful. And just on your website, you've got any number of different programs. People want to maybe explore a certain area. There are different things that people can access there and learn more about and perhaps look at programs. So I'll put a link to that on the show notes as well. But thank you so much.
Thank you. Absolutely. I will be very happy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for tuning into this episode of My Perfect Failure Even. If you're looking to raise your vibrations, do share this episode with people that you know, anybody that you know that really wants to up level themselves. This will be a perfect episode for them. And please do share Shima's details, and your feedback is most welcome. So we're keen to hear about the things you like and equally the things you don't like. So you can find me at paul@myperfectfailure.com, or you can find me via the feedback page on the website. So take care for now. Bye.
Thanks for listening to My Perfect Failure podcast. Be sure to visit www.myperfectfailure.com to join the conversation. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Google Play. Look out for our next episode.